This Finish Line Radio podcast brought to you by WePaint. Give owner Jamie Goodman a call at 1-912-341-5372. At WePaint, we paint so you don't have to.
Dale's Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
On ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the Mix 104.1 app, thank you so much. The new ESPN Cleveland 101.3 app. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll recap this past week's race at Pocono and hear from your winner. And finally, he comes through for me in fantasy, Chase Briscoe. We'll get you caught up on the court battle between NASCAR and 2311. Man, I don't know how much I could catch you up on there because it's hard to understand, but we'll go at it. We head to Hotlanta this weekend. We'll get you ready, and it's a Saturday night race. Hello. Let's go there every week. Webb's back after living large for a week and a half. Cup standings, Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy standings, and much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my radio right, full house, where the boys are back. All things Alabama. Jason Hildebrand, we were in the non-friendly confines last week, Hildebrand and I were. The man spinning the tunes, spinning opinions, and keeping us on the air sits across the table. That's super producer Scott Webb. Well, Jason, I think we could spend the next 30 minutes questioning Webb about his travels.
But I don't presume, you know.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
That is a good afternoon in Italian.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Is that all you learned over there?
No.
Italy? Where's the food?
Food was great.
Yeah. Did you eat Italian?
I did eat Italian.
Now, I'd be really mad Greek. If you went over there and ate a burger.
No, I didn't have a burger. A lot of good food, a lot of good sight. Just an incredible trip.
Good.
But happy to be back talking about NASCAR.
Yeah. You know, when you're over there, did you drink any wine over there?
No.
No wine?
No wine. But all the food so fresh.
What's the views like?
The views were, I mean, we could turn this whole show into me recapping my vacation, but, you know, on Father's Day, I'm literally on a rooftop restaurant looking out over in Santorini, Greece, looking out over the views, just almost in tears. It was just so beautiful and just a phenomenal. I mean, I saw the crypt of the Apostle Matthew.
Oh.
So when you're seeing things like that, just seeing things that I never
emotional.
Yeah, just things I never would see and thought I would see in my life. Just an incredible trip. So. Good.
A former football coach, I didn't think he ever got emotional as far as that goes. I guess after you get through the 50s, you start working.
Yeah, when you're getting soft.
Oh, Nick Saban syndrome,
I'm getting soft is what it's happening.
That sure is. Well, you know, some of the drivers didn't have as good a week as you and had motor issues, or maybe they had tire issues, like Bubba Wallace. They should have called Premier Tire and Auto. They have a history of providing tires and making sure your car is running great. It's their passion. They even have courtesy cars, so you don't have to miss work. Locally owned and located off North Lee Highway. Give them a call, 423-479-3365, and get back on the road today. All right, heater, dud, meter. Where's this race rank?
I'm agreeing with you. It's a 3.5. I didn't care too much for it.
It
seemed like it went a little bit back. I was kind of exciting watching the qualifying runs on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then kind of just Sunday, it kind of just kind of fizzled out for me. I just really didn't, it didn't hit home with me.
It's a little clean air, actually. Yeah. We'll talk about a little bit that made the.
Could that have to do with winning on a fuel run?
No, because I would have said if fuel mileage played that big of a role, I would have probably given this thing like a 2 or a 1.5 because of the strategic side of it. But the whole thing is that Denny had plenty of gas, and it's obvious Briscoe had enough gas because he lit the whole front straightaway up after he went around after winning. You know, so, and Denny kept asking, is he going to run out? Is he going to run out? And that whole thing that Denny went into the explanation of with the clean air is that at Pocono, it's basically two grooves except down the front stretch. And so once you get close enough to that car in front of you, it's hard to pass the car in front of you because you don't have enough width room to get out from that air. And so, which was a great explanation. Go to Denny Hamlin's podcast. It usually comes out on Monday. Really spent full 20 minutes on the clean air deal. But, you know, Denny said I could come up on him. I could get there. And then, you know, I would try to push him. But he could go as slow as he wanted to, Briscoe. He could go as slow as he wanted to. And Denny and Ryan could never get by him because once they got up in that wake, it was over with. And Denny was like, I'm going to take that second place over trying to go up and do something to him and wind up losing second and finishing third to Blaney.
Well, I mean that's a strategy call. I mean, that's one of the reasons why this race kind of exemplifies why there's only one race there anymore, because it doesn't produce great racing.
Now, but wait a minute. I think we're talking out of both sides of our mouth, because we've said now that there is one race there that the place is packed. It's had some good racing and stuff like that.
It has. But the bottom line is you got to be able to pass somebody.
Right.
And you can't. Not in this car.
No.
There's a problem.
When you get stuck, you get stuck. Yeah. And if you can't move forward, if there's not a lot of passes for the lead, I think that's one of the things that makes it with this particular car, a poor racetrack. And it's one of the reasons why there's only one race there.
And I think this car is tarnishing some of these tracks. I mean, tarnishing some of the racing at some of these tracks.
Well, I mean, all you got to do is we could spend a whole another half hour talking about
horsepower and everything else
and all that other stuff that this car is. It's done some things well, but in some situations at certain racetracks, it's put a kind of limit, a kind of cap on how exciting the racing can be. It's follow the leader.
Look forward to Michigan, and I look forward to Pocono this year, and neither one of them, my opinion, produced. Just my opinion.
But, yeah, and I think Michigan was a little more than Pocono because you did have space, and you could have – I mean, there was a pass with, what, 8 to go, 9 to go or whatever for the win. But as far as meeting
expectations, sure. I didn't think either one of them did.
I mean, I think it – you know, some historians, you know, may say, well, crap, if he was, you know, holding off, you know, because of fuel and that was able – you know, enabled him to keep Denny back, then so be it. It shouldn't be that somebody should just be able to drive up there and drive away. However, I feel like if you have the best car in that situation and you can't make the pass because of an engineering issue, then that tends to be, you know, a problem. I mean, and you look at Formula One, and I think IndyCar, I'm just thinking Formula One. You get up close enough to somebody on a Formula One, you can push a button.
You can push a button, but in NASCAR, at a track like this, it's not only are you faster, but are you faster at the right moment? Because there is really only one place. I mean, we saw passes in other places, but essentially, if you can't catch the right run coming down the front stretch, you're follow the leader for almost 2 miles around the track.
Right.
And that just prevents, you know, it prevents exciting racing.
I remember, was it Ryan Blaney's first win, maybe in the Wood Brothers, and Kevin Harvick was like all over him. In that car or whatever. And I think they had passed each other a couple of times. You know, I guess here's the deal. So we either have to accept that this car is this car and accept the outcomes at particular tracks and kind of go, I don't think they're going to change anything. They're not going to change anything. I know they changed the schedule for us, which we appreciated. Now they've kind of gone.
Now we just need to harp on horsepower.
Yeah. Correct. But I don't know that horsepower makes a difference at Pocono.
Because, it could.
Because of the air scenario.
Because of the air. But with the longest front stretch in the sport, you know, horsepower may make a difference at the end of that stretch.
You're going to have to, let off and make sure you get the rear wheels down coming out of three to get the best run into.
And then you got to get it wound down so you can get through one. It's not one and two there. It's just turn one. There's just three turns. Remember, it's the triangle.
Yeah, I just don't think I don't think that it's heavily track related, Jason. We can say Pocono, the Michigans of the world, stuff like that. It don't run good at short tracks. But I mean, look, would we say Atlanta's a good race if it was the old track?
But it could be a blend of those things, the car and the track,
right?
Not just the track, not just the car, but a combination of the two that just does not jive.
Right. I think.
I don't know.
It's variables.
Yeah.
We say it all the time on this show. There need to be more variables in the equation, and I just don't think at some of these tracks they have enough. The track's not conducive enough. The car doesn't have enough.
The tire doesn't give up enough.
You know, I just think there's a combination of stuff, and that's what's present.
So all of that
put together is what makes for a 2.5 on the Hildebrand dud meter.
So I have a question then. Why would NASCAR put themselves in a situation to where they produce a car like this with the amount of testing they were able to do? And then, so that's the first question. Why would they put themselves in that scenario? Why would Goodyear be so hesitant to bring a tire to the track that didn't give, that you know, could mess up, that could whatever? Why are those two entities, two of the biggest entities in the world, so resistant to being better?
I don't know. I don't have that answer, Jamie, but I do hear the drivers on a week in and week out basis. I mean, there's constant, I don't want to say complaining, but I mean, they're very critical of the cars and the horsepower. They're very critical of the tires. It's like they're falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
I mean, they're talking about it. They're bringing up these things. They're having their own podcasts and having these conversations, but they're falling on deaf ears. That's all, in my opinion.
Well, I think change happens in the sport one of two ways. It either is super fast, like from one week to the next, we make a change, or it takes forever.
Or if somebody gets killed on a track,
somebody gets hurt
bad,
they make it. It's an instant change.
Yes.
But other than that, changes. I mean, it is just slow and methodical.
They're just bullheaded,
right? Yeah. And it's hard for them to make adjustments. And I think we're starting to see enough grumbling that we're maybe going to get some changes on down the road. Horsepower has been a conversation.
They're going to change the car,
but
they'll change it.
But
take the bottom off of it, whatever that bottom is, that the diffuser. Let's take the diffuser off and let him go.
Who was it? Was it Kyle Busch says, why are we running high downforce at Bristol?
I know. Yeah.
Right. But why?
You got to be able to get to the top and ride around behind each other. I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah. I think that's the frustrating thing. You can get Alex on next week and have it out a little bit. All right, let's go real quick. Bubba Wallace having a tough stretch. Denny said it's a car issue and is proud of Bubba's attitude. I will say Denny's probably making some excuses for Bubba at this point in time, but at least Bubba's not, you know, acting like it's the end of the world.
Yeah, he had a car issue in qualifying, couldn't get the dang thing fired.
And then blew a tire in the race. And, I mean, it's not like, you know, Tyler's running much better. He's kind of had the same deal, so – you know, Brad Keselowski, if you guys didn't see it, run out of mental talent, had a top five car, and went into the pits when the pit was closed.
I don't know if that was necessarily on him.
Well, everybody else knew it.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was him or if it was coming from people on pit road.
I can't remember if it was Harvick who said that light is very bright as far as whether it's red or whether it's green.
But ultimately, it is his call whether or not he comes down.
Right.
And, you know, they just had a situation that bit him. He had a car good enough to win.
Jason, despite all that, RFK, all three cars, top 10. That's got to be one of those weeks where you get out of the car and you feel like you've done something.
Yeah, I agree. This week, they'll probably finish in the 20s.
And the reason may be because there's more parity to be had at Atlanta and mile and a half tracks than there are at Pocono.
Historically, Pocono's been a good track to those guys.
Yep.
Buescher
and Atlanta coming up this week, although the summer race is a little different than the spring race, they've had some pretty good success there too. So I expect them to be up near the front again this week.
If you want to know who Ryan Newman and Matt Kenseth was, let me direct your attention to Chase Elliott. Finished, I believe, the top five this week. I think, Jason, maybe top five in points, maybe fourth in points.
He's fifth.
Fifth. All right. So the guy keeps on doing it. I guess about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we touched on this. I will say it's one of those deals. Maybe it was even last week. I don't know. Your most popular driver at some point has got to win a race.
Yeah, but he's putting himself in a position. I mean, he's running top five week in and week out. So as long as you're up there battling and not tearing up equipment, getting caught up in junk and not basically killing yourself out there, you're always going to give yourself an opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's all you got to ask for is just to hang around until the end. Something could happen and you sneak away with a victory, and you can never know how that's going to turn your season around as far as getting those wins.
Right. Keep building that momentum too, right? So you can get to the playoffs. All right. And the flip side of that, William Byron, uncharacteristic 27th place finish. Not that he cares, because of where he's at in the points. Don't look now, but the streak continues at Legacy Motorsports for a top 10 finish. I think John Hunter Nemechek was in the top 10. There, Eric Jones had a really good run. I had him in my, my fantasy. And wasn't able to keep it up there because of some pit issues and stuff like that. All right, I mentioned Denny Hamlin. Let's run to our shock finisher of the week.
Shock finisher of the week brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Shock finisher of the week brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading. They can do driveways, roads, and with their own asphalt plant, they can pave interstates too. Give them a call, 423-336-3841 for a free quote today. I'm going with Josh Berry. Josh Berry started very last on the field. Some mechanical issues or whatever in qualifying didn't allow him to be able to get out and do a get a practice run. And so they had to change a lot of stuff. And was able to, I think, finish top 10, top 12.
I'm going with a driver you mentioned just about a minute ago with consecutive sixth-place finishes. You know, Mexico City, John Hunter Nemechek, and then John Hunter Nemechek again at Pocono was coming home sixth.
John Hunter Nemechek.
I'll take Keselowski.
Better than his dad ever did.
Yeah.
Rojo.
Yeah. I'll take Keselowski because they did have a car. He's not had – many great runs this year.
Yeah.
And to have a car capable of really being in victory lane at the end of the race and to make that kind of mistake that just kind of sums up what's happened to the sixth car this year.
Chase Briscoe gets the win at Pocono. He seemed to leave and mention it not being his most exciting win because he feels it's expected at JGR. And I thought this was kind of a cool topic to talk about because you never really think about that. He was in a deadbeat team probably for the past couple of years or whatever with Stuart Haas. And then he gets over to JGR. There's three top programs basically in the sport with JGR and Hendrick and, I don't know, throw whoever else, Penske. So the pressure on him to win has probably been gigantic considering who he's replacing in the team he's riding for.
Yeah, but it's not as bad now. You look, I mean, he's doing better than the 54. That's where the pressure is.
Probably doing better than the 54-year-old Martin Truex did last year, too. So,
oh, yeah, that's true.
Scott's like, 54, I can relate. All right, this Victory Lane interview is brought to you by Quick Check Convenience, Mark. It's my neighborhood gas station. At Quick Check, you'll find a great selection of food and drinks, plus midnight oil gasoline for your car. And they have 100% gasoline for your lawn equipment. Located at 5693 Mouse Creek Road, stop by and fill up today.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, out of anybody you could have behind you here, at least, Denny's the last kind of guy you want just because he's so experienced and so skilled. You know, he makes speed here where other guys can't. And honestly, I wasn't crazy nervous just because I was honestly going so slow. Like, I was so backed up, but I was still driving away. So, you know, honestly, it would have been probably harder if I was on the ragged edge. The biggest thing for me was I just didn't want him to get close enough to where, like, he could make somewhat of a move on me, especially with how much I was having to lift into the corners. I just didn't want him to be able to, like, drive in deeper. But, yeah, it was definitely surprising to me on it, just how I was able to kind of drive away. So definitely felt like I learned something.
He did definitely learn something. That was that nobody would be able to pass him because of the clean air issue he had. All right, anything on Twitter, X, or Facebook that looks halfway decent, that's done for us by WebIV Digital Marketing. You can find out more about WebIV Digital Marketing at webiv.com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, back in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. Man alive, I'm telling you, when the utility company sends out a message on social media saying that ways to save from your bill being very high because of how hot it is, they want you to go get fans. But fans, I'm like, fans are the ones that I used to get in trouble for because they'd say it's costing the electricity bill to go up. But they're like, put fans and stir the air around and then put your shades down. It's a nice 90-something degrees.
Yeah, and they also say, hey, tips, you know, keep it at 78 and things like that. Yeah. Sorry.
No.
That ain't happening.
I ain't doing that. No, 78 is stupid.
You should be in Europe where they really don't believe in air conditioning.
Yes, I'm aware
then
of that.
Then come talk to me.
Some of us can't go to Europe, Scott. Some of us, we can't hide money. All right, so I need a vote real quick.
He goes to see new things. I'm going back to Disney. Vacation next week, the place I was just at Memorial Day week.
But they know you break. Down there. They're like Mr. Hildebrand, your regular spot.
I am going to eat at a different restaurant that I've never eaten at. So we're doing something a little different.
That is very good. All right, so I need a vote here real quick. How about we send a message on behalf of Finish Line Radio to the meteorologist in this area stating that if you want to say the temperature is 92, but the feels like is 107, why not just say that the temperature is 107?
Because it's not accurate.
But that's what it feels like.
But it's not accurate. I mean, if you take a reading, it is.
A lot like this show where we'll say stuff.
It's definitely not accurate.
That's definitely not accurate.
But I just think that if you're going to say it feels like 98.
I get what you're saying.
It's what it's going to feel. I want to know what it's going to feel like. I don't really care what the temperature's like.
I was on a phone call today. This is just way off base. But I was on a call today with one of our suppliers out in South Dakota.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's warm out here. And he said, it's like 60-something this morning. I'm like, what?
Can you send that down here?
I said, it feels like 107 where I'm at. Don't give me this hot stuff up there.
Woo, it's hot.
It's very hot.
Blazing, man. Degrees.
Well, I have to take my coat off.
In the morning here, it's like 78. I mean, I walked out this morning.
I got the car is 83.
Yeah. 83 and about 99.99% humidity.
You could cut it. That's how bad it was.
Awful.
Yeah. All right. News in the world of NASCAR is brought to you by Mouse Creek Pharmacy. This is my pharmacy and has been for years. It's your insurance denying your weight loss drug. Mouse Creek Pharmacy has weight loss compounds that you can pay cash for in as low as $154. To find out more information, go by and see them at 570 Mouse Creek Road or give them a call at 423-790-0443. All right. So look, I have no clue. I'll just kind of read this. They denied 2311s in front rows. Motion to dismiss NASCAR's counterclaim against them. So that's Judge Bell. The challenges to counterclaim are best addressed at summary judgment with a more developed factual record. NASCAR alleges teams illegally conducted or colluded for better charter terms. And then, you know, there's a statement from 2311's attorney via X. I will say this. There is talk about teams not involved in this lawsuit having to provide financials. And I think
I read today that teams are going to have to provide it, but it will only be available to
upon
the court.
Okay. Yeah.
It was not going to go into public record. It was going to be just the people involved in the suit were going to have access.
Because if that would, I mean, that would be pretty eye opening. I can imagine Rick Hendrick's probably not in the boat of wanting to provide.
Yeah, I don't. That, so. Yeah, I, why would he want to provide his financials when he's not really involved?
Yeah, which I don't understand in the first place. Unless they say the teams colluded, and that those two words, teams colluded, probably means they were involved, just not in directly involved or whatever. Decided not to file a lawsuit.
They decided not to put their pen to pin their name onto the lawsuit. But I think they're very interested in what's going to happen coming out of this lawsuit.
Absolutely. All right. So had a death in the NASCAR community day today. Larry McClure. You might have heard that McClure name from Morgan McClure Motorsports. Jason, they used to, I guess towards the end of their existence, they would bring a four car up to Bristol and try to qualify up there. But a couple of legendary drivers driving that has drove that number four car, usually by Kodak, the film brand.
That's what old Bobby Hamilton used to drive.
Bobby Hamilton used to drive, and then there was Sterling Marlin won two Daytona 500s back-to-back. Also, Ernie Irvin, I believe, was a driver of that car. So a lot of people who have watched NASCAR for a long time are very familiar with that. The family of Larry A. McClure, former co-owner of Morgan McClure Motorsports, announces with great sorrow his passing on Wednesday, June 25th at Johnston Memorial Hospital in Abington, Virginia. We would like to thank everyone for their prayers and support during this most difficult time. And that's a statement from sent to us from the family of Mr. McClure, Larry McClure. So, it's slowly but surely these old team owners and Morgan McClure had one car, Jay.
Yeah,
that wasn't a multi-car team. That was one car. So
made it happen.
He did.
You know, kind of like Petty.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I want to one of these days when we don't have a race going on the next week, we need to talk about this, or at least maybe, and maybe I can get Winston Kelly on to talk about JD Stacy. You remember all the cars you've seen back in the day had Stacy on the back of them, mm-hmm. and it's like 12 of them. I mean, so it's like probably a wonder why he didn't win. He had
blue and yellow Wrangler car.
Yeah, that had Stacy on the back of it. So
and then Earnhardt bailed on that,
right? Because he was sponsoring everybody else or owned everybody else's stuff too. So. All right, it's time for the news and that NASCAR Cup point standings. Those are brought to you by Brady Maya with Krylock Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bria's the realtor I trust. She sold my dad's house after he passed away, and you should too. Give her a call at 1-269-598-6243 today. Scott Webb, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series point standings after the running of the Great American Getaway 400. Presented by visitpa.com. William Byron is still your points leader with a 54-point lead over Kyle Larson. Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, and Chase Elliott are your top five. Ryan Blaney, Tyler Reddick, Ross Chastain, Chase Briscoe, and Joey Logano are your top 10. Chris Buescher, Bubba Wallace, Alex Bowman, Ryan Preece, Austin Cindric, and Josh Berry are your top 16. That is your NASCAR Cup Series standings.
When you're buying your home or selling your home, you want to make sure you have somebody you can trust. Give Bree a call, 269-598-6243. All right, it's time to move on to the next race in life. That's at Atlanta. Oh, I'm sorry. They changed the name of that.
Echo Park Speedway.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Atlanta Motor Speedway is a
It took
classic.
Me 30 minutes to figure out where they were racing.
Me too.
That's ridiculous.
I had to look and clicked on the track. I'm like, hold on a second. Where is Echo Park? I was like,
what road course are they on?
Exactly what I thought.
That's exactly what I thought. Like, what are we doing?
And, hey, so we'll talk about this when we get back. But last Amazon this past week. So head to TNT this week. Hopefully we don't have any Wally Dallenbach sightings coming on and announcing at TNT. We'll talk about Atlanta right after this.
Got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. Hey, look, if you're local here in the Cleveland-Chattanooga area, nice little freedom celebration. Lakeview Community Church is putting this on June 28th at 6 o'clock. It'll be at the old Mike Burke Ball Fields at 229 Lakeview Drive, I think those are called. Just went off the top of my head, but they're Harvest Fields now. Couple of sponsors they've got: Food City, Harvest Fields, Hero Homes Group, and EXP Realty. We'll have the sponsorship stuff there. But been doing this for 9 years. I've been a part of this. They've got fireworks, probably one of the second best fireworks in the area, and they'll have blow ups, free foods, and also a little smash burgers. Got a couple of food trucks coming.
Go for me a smash burger right about now.
Definitely want to come over there and check that out. So that's this Saturday. At 6 o'clock, 229 Lakeview Drive. All right, time to move on to the next race in life. Your next race may be buying a new home or moving an aging family member to their new home. Boundless Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For more information, go to boundlessmoving.com or give them a call, 763-1000. Scott Webb, you've been itching. I can tell you've been scratching that Clint Bowyer left arm over there to talk about this in-season tournament that is getting ready to kick off at Echo Park Speedway this Saturday night.
Where?
Eco Park Speedway in Hampton, Georgia.
In Hampton, Georgia.
Yeah, Hampton,
Georgia. Formerly known as the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Formerly known as Atlanta Super Speedway.
Super Speedway. Okay, my bad.
I ain't got any
we knew this was coming, and to be completely upfront and honest.
Are you being transparent here?
I'm being transparent. I totally forgot that this was a thing until I saw it this morning.
If you don't feel bad, though, because I said Chase Elliott was in an interview Sunday before the race, and he had no clue about it either.
No clue about it. So this is a five-week tournament. I think it's the 5 weeks that TNT has the sports. So it's going to go through, going to start this week in Atlanta, Chicago, Sonoma, Dover, and it's going to end in Indianapolis. So it's a bracket-style tournament. So they have top 32 drivers in the sport, 1 versus 32, 2 versus 31, so on and so forth. I don't know how they did the seeding, but that's what they came up with. Like, I don't understand how Kyle Larson is 10th. It may be based on where they finished last week, but that didn't make any sense either because Hamlin is number 1 and Briscoe is number 2. Don't ask me how they got the seeding. I'm sure you can look it up on Twitter or Google it and find out. But essentially, it's a bracket-style tournament. If you finish better than the guy you're up against, you advance in the round until you get to the winner. Top prize is going to be $1 million. And it's at least, you know, like what they did with the NBA doing that in-seed tournament, it kind of gives a little more meaning to the next five races. They know they're racing for some money. How much is going to really impact the product we're seeing on the track? I doubt very much because these guys have the big picture in hand. But if you have a chance to advance, that may impact some of the decisions you make in trying to create some additional intrigue in the races. I don't have any problem with it. We'll see how this all plays out. I don't know how the broadcast is going to handle breaking down, keeping track of who won and who lost. But it's an interesting element. We'll see if it pays some dividends.
Jason, I can tell you how Vegas is going to handle it. They'll make a crap ton of money off it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's presented by DraftKings.
Yeah.
Sportsbook. I mean, you know, that's what it says. Presented by DraftKings. I look at it, and I see upsets all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, in that first round. I just do. I'm with Scott. I don't know how in the world they got this, because if you
think it's average finish?
I don't have any clue.
You could say, Larson could
have it. It can't be. Ty Gibbs is 6th seeded, and Larson's 10th.
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
Yeah.
You know, Chase is 5th, which is right around where he's at. But, yeah, some of these, I would just love to see, if it was in the first round, I would have loved to seen Carson Hocevar and Stenhouse matched up.
Going at it. I don't know why they didn't put that in there. So that would have made sense. Hey, listen, you know, when we did those power rankings, if somebody had been paying some money in this thing, I might have paid attention and done some stuff if we'd have handled that now. So, all right, so we're heading to Eco Park Speedway, which I think is – it's probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life to name something Eco Park Speedway when it's been Atlanta Motor Speedway. Name it whatever you want it.
I've got an answer for us. Drivers were seated based on their finishes at the last three previous races. So Michigan, Mexico City, and Pocono.
Hmm. Well, I guess if you didn't like road courses or
Pocono. It makes no sense, but hey, a lot of things in the
But they sport. Only had three. I mean, Amazon Prime only had three, right?
No, they
have five.
They had five as well. So.
Yeah, so it still doesn't make any sense on why they started when they started.
Hey, look at Nemechek. He's rolling in here 12th seat. I mean, where was he at?
I know.
You had two back-to-back sixth-place finishes.
Well, that gets him in. Then why is he 12? So he must have finished 37.
Where he normally does. The previous.
Where his dad finished. I think he's still racing.
But at least he started good. You know?
This is true. He gets in there, so. All right, our partners at MRN had interviewed a couple of drivers last week about this coming week at Eco Park, which they still call Atlanta. One of them was Christopher Bell. They said, how does this race, being at night at Atlanta, impact the racing?
Being a night race, I think, should clump us back together a little bit more, but certainly the temperatures are going to be higher than maybe we've ever seen at that racetrack, and obviously age is becoming a factor now with it getting more time on it. I don't know. I was literally just asking my crew chief about it this week and my engineers about what they thought. And they tell me that they keep adding downforce to the car and heading towards, you know, maxing the car out with downforce. So I think we're expecting car handling to matter, grip to matter. But with it being a night race, I think that it's the potential for us to spread out is going to be a lot less than if it were during the day.
Yes, Josh Berry, what are the biggest X factors at Atlanta in the summer?
It's definitely coming into its own. Obviously, we had a really good race there earlier in the year, but the conditions are going to be a good bit different. It's obviously going to be much hotter. Handling is going to play a bigger factor. I think that that'll separate the field maybe a little bit more than what we had earlier in the year. So it's going to be important to have track position. You obviously have the speed and qualifying to have the track position, but then have your car handling it good enough that you can maintain it. I think that'll be the big deal.
Cole Custer was asked, how important has handling become at Atlanta?
The biggest thing is just the handling, you know, especially when we go back there for the summer race. I mean, it's just so hot that you really have way more handling involved than you do at like I say, Daytona or Talladega. So you still have the drafting aspect, but everybody's hanging on for dear life a little bit, you know, so the field gets a little bit more spread out just because you can't race as tight just because you have to worry about the handling. So it's definitely a different dynamic where you see a little bit of a mix of mile and a half and super speedway racing.
Oh, is Cole doing that interview from the stall in the men's restroom?
I don't know where. That one, that audio was
definitely sounded.
It is what it is.
All right. So real quick, how did you, you know, I think we've all kind of touched on this at one point in time or the other. Amazon Prime, new. So they get to do new things that, you know, you could say Fox probably should have thought about, but, I mean, what do you give it as far as the way they produced a race?
I think they did a fine job, just to be honest with you. I think it's a new player out there. I think that their coverage is very, very good. You know, they mix it up a little bit. They had Carl Edwards out there, you know, on pre-race shows and stuff. I think it was good.
The added stuff that I liked about it, before we get Scott's opinion, I'm not a beer drinker, but I enjoy the fact that they all got together after the race and they toasted that in the post-race show. And I think I read a deal that 46% of Amazon's viewers stayed around for the whole hour of post-race afterwards. And so they were saying that you could expect NASCAR to start playing more of the post-race stuff. Because it looked like that it did that. I mean, with Corey, what's his name? Corey LaJoie. He's not a good race car driver, but he's decent at what he did. I thought those guys did really good, and they bounced off. Trevor Bain, I had no clue he was that good. Dale Jr. was bragging on him a couple weeks ago about how good he was in the pit area. So they brought some new talent to the table, it'll be interesting to see it when you look at Prime first time streaming a race and doing it 5 weeks in a row at different areas. I think if you're Amazon Prime, you've got to be pretty pumped up that you pulled off a good product.
Well, and how did they get Carl Edwards? I mean, they had to pay a pretty penny to get him back involved with the sport. That's a big deal. And I think you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what I was going to talk about was the post race. It's the amount of coverage that for us that are invested in the sport, we want to be able to hear some of that insight that helps fuel some of our conversation here on the radio. And it was just great to see that without the constraints of network television and knowing that at 7:30 we've got to move to this programming because that's the way it goes, to be able to have the flexibility to say, we don't care how long it runs because this is
our streaming. If you want to go watch it, go watch it.
You can go watch it. Yeah. You can go back and watch it later. So to have that kind of flexibility and freedom, we've always said, and we've said on this show for a long time, that streaming could be a very big beneficial part of moving the sport and advancing the sport and helping regain some of the popularity that's been gone because they can do things that are outside the box and do things that used to happen in the past, but now there's just not enough time. We used to see post-race shows all the time on network television. We don't see them anymore because it's now we got to cut
to the Family Guy.
We got to get to the next thing on the docket, whereas you can take some time and deep dive into it and have conversations and talk about what happened and have insight and reflection on the day and the race. So I thought that their coverage was excellent. They had enough people that had been around and been on the broadcasting side, and they also interjected some new blood that really kind of done a great job of covering the sport. And I only look for Amazon's influence to continue to grow in the sport. I thought it was very well done.
Let me take it to the front side of that, Jason. I you know, we read the schedule on here every week, and typically we talk about practice and qualifying. And we always, with Fox, it was FS2, which I don't have, or it wasn't available to get. I enjoyed being able to go on a Saturday night when this all happened on Saturday day and catch up on practice and qualifying and watch the whole thing and be more prepared for the race on Sunday.
Yeah, and like I said, I watched it on Saturday, the qualifying. It was I enjoyed it. You know, there's only one person that I feel bad for is Arnold. He don't have Prime and couldn't get Prime. And
yeah, we had him last week. He's
no, totally and it. He is totally against it. And I was just like, you are missing out because this is way better, in my opinion, than watching the Fox.
And the potential, I mean, we've talked about in the past being able to do more in-car stuff and have channels.
I didn't see as much of that.
But I think that's a direction they could head with this.
Sure.
If it starts to show that there's enough interest, maybe they have the top 10 drivers. They have a featured channel you can go watch. I think there's ways that it can really work in this environment, and the flexibility and the lack of being stuck into a tight, strict schedule is really could be something that is we're going to see more and more of it in sports. Netflix, Prime, all of these things, Apple,
Max.
Is all going to be, I think we're going to start to see them get more and more of our traditional sports involved, and they can do things that can't happen on regular broadcast TV.
All right, speaking of schedule for this weekend, it's brought to you by Clarity Property Management. Clarity Property Management is a locally owned property management company that handles finding tenants, collecting rent, and handles all maintenance issues. If you need a good property management company, give them a call at 423-458-2600. Give it to us, Heater.
All right, on Friday, CW. App Xfinity qualifying, then the Cup qualifying is on True TV at 5 o'clock, 5:05. Pre-race on CW at 7. Xfinity 7:30 race on CW on Saturday, 6:30 TNT pre-race, 7 o'clock on TNT the Cup race. So should be interesting. I'm looking to see how TNT follows up with what Amazon just did with their own broadcast.
And I think some of those
there's a little bit of a crossover.
Broadcasters crossover, yeah. That's right. So. Interesting too on the radio side. I listened to some of the Pocono on the radio and not your usual cast of characters. I will have Alex on next week or whatever to find out what's going on there too, because all that, you know, as I think he mentioned on the air is going to eventually be NASCAR radio. And, so it'll be interesting to see how those kind of things fall out. All right. We got to get fantasy standings and plus, find out who we're going to pick this week right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio.
Sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. It's time for the Rick Carr Fantasy Standings, and those are brought to you by the Cleveland Aqua Tigers. Did you know Cleveland has a summer and a year-round swim team, Jason?
Yes.
This is a perfect sponsor for our show because, well, they race. If your kiddo wants to race and just be involved or just be involved in a team sport, check out cat.swimtopia.com for more information. Mr. Hildebrand.
Yeah, so Pocono had some good scores. Untethered Racing come away first. Myself in second, Teddy O third, then Brandon Gaines, Loving Brooks. Left Turns, RLM Racing, Jamie Kyle, Gonna Rattle Your Cage.
Horrible.
Number three, Kivo Racing, Arnold Tarpley.
He is alive. We had a sighting last week.
Yeah, Blake Bull, The Real Lyle, Scott Webb, and Bentley Thomas.
How does Bull have a dang website almost? They're geared around NASCAR, and he can't even get 161 points.
Anyway. I don't know. But Teddy O is leading the league overall. Gonna Rattle Your Cage, number three, is second.
Horrible.
RLM Racing, third. Myself, fourth. Brandon Gaines.
That's Garth Brooks.
Kivo Racing, Untethered Racing, Arnold Tarpley, Jamie Kyle, Loving Left Turns, Blake Bull, Scott Webb, The Real Lyle, and Bentley Thomas.
Loving Left Turns was on a cruise last week, so that's probably why he did so bad. He was at that all-you-could-eat buffet. All right, I'm going with...
I feel that pain.
Yeah, the Italian buffet. Bet your breath smelled like garlic all week last week, too. What you think? What do you think?
Maybe
yes. I like garlic.
I will, yes.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. It was not a
bad thing. It's not a bad thing if your wife's breath smells like garlic, but if it's one of you, then you smell it.
No, I just don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I got my fill, you know. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I mean, am I right?
No, that's exactly right.
I don't know. I get it. Maybe I'm a smell of breath guy. I don't know. I don't like that smell. All right,
this show just went off the
rails.
All right. So I've got my starters for Echo Park will be Austin Cindric, Ross Chastain, William Byron, Kyle Busch, KB Kyle Busch, and Brad Keselowski. In my garage, I got Mr. Kyle Larson. I got Busch over Keselowski. One of those is going to get out of my top five. I got Logano over Bowman, Larson over Reddick, and Chastain over Jones. NASCAR's got some betting things down here. A hot pick would be Ryan Blaney. Another hot pick, Kyle Busch. Kyle Larson. Great. Avoid Denny Hamlin, and a sleeper, mi amigo, Daniel Suarez. Listen, if you got gambling problems, just stop. Heater.
I'm going with William Byron, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Daniel Suarez, Austin Cindric, Ryan Blaney, and matchups. I've got Busch over Keselowski, Logano over Bowman, Larson over Reddick, and Chastain over Jones.
Some of the same cast of characters there. I got Blaney, Byron, Chase Elliott is going to be in my lineup, Brad Keselowski, and Tyler Reddick. I got Josh Berry in my garage. By the way, nobody should be paying attention to my fantasy, as you just heard. I got Keselowski over Busch. I got Logano over Bowman. I got Reddick over Larson, and Ross Chastain over Eric Jones.
Sounds like that's a winner. Where'd you finish last week?
Oh, me? 13th. Yeah, I didn't even give one thought to changing my fantasy lineup from the week before.
Do we head to Chicago after this week, I believe,
that's
right? So
SVG time, baby. SVG.
We got Chicago and Sonoma back-to-back weeks.
Good road courses.
I thought we were in Toon Fin store for another road course this week.
Echo Park. I'm like, all right.
I've never heard of it.
We're turning right and left.
That's the Atlanta Motor Park down there.
We're in middle America is Echo Park.
I don't even know what Echo Park is. Is that some sort of...
I don't know. Who knows? Somebody paid some big money to sponsor it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We're in Wisconsin or Iowa is Echo Park.
What are we doing here?
You find out it's in Hampton, Georgia.
Yeah, like, Hampton, Georgia.
That's where Atlanta Motor Speedway is.
That's where Atlanta Motor Speedway
is. I looked at the track layout, and I'm like, this is the exact same. Hampton, what are they doing? I mean, we're not running Road Atlanta over off of 85 or anything. I was like, you know.
I'm telling you, man, if I did not see that press deal, I would have been in the same boat.
No, I scratched my head when I saw it today.
That's funny. All right, we need to take off. Make sure you tune in next week. We'll break down Echo Park / Atlanta Motor Speedway and get you ready for Chicago. For Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dales Heating and Air.
On ESPN Cleveland, 101.3.